You can pick up a copy of Tommy James' CD, Hold the Fire, at Doug's Holiday Store at DougStephan.com.
I like it already.
Listen to this. I'm thinking about your voice, Tommy, and how you kept it where a lot of folks who have matured haven't been able to keep their voice sounding.
I was thinking the same thing.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. You know, it's like I try not to mistreat it too much. You know, we don't work enough so that I get polyps on my vocal cords or anything. I always have felt that way.
How do you, bridging the gap from the 60s when you started to today, listening to that song and it's very sort of, there's an electric feeling to it, and I don't mean that facetiously, like the electronic music of today, and how sound effects were created. When you did Moni Moni, when you did Dragon the Lion, what did you use for effects then versus what you use now?
Well, you know, it's funny. Back in those days, you basically had to build them.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were, you know, like Crimson and Clover was pretty simple by today's terms. But I think basically you had to know what you wanted to hear. You had to literally create the circuit board back then. Today, you push a button on a synthesizer.
So how did you know then? Where did it come into your brain? Into whatever the lobe is that has the music in it, those sound effects from like Crimson Clover.
Well, Crimson and Clover was really just the pulsation of a tremolo guitar amplifier.
Right.
We ran the microphones through the guitar amp and, you know, got it in sync with the rhythm of the track. But, you know, a lot of people thought their radios were broken when we first put that. But, you know, I've always been so lucky because I've always basically lived in a recording studio. I've practically eaten and breathed in a recording studio. I have been, I've connected all the dots going from the 60s all the way through today, and I've been lucky to always have access to a studio so I could do new things.
Sorry, Doug, I'm going to get one in here.
Go ahead.
Gary, tell us, you were telling us during the break that a lot of things about the music business are actually better now than they were then. But one of my thoughts or philosophies about back then is it was so wide open. Wild West, and
absolutely.
You could do new things.
The two great things that were true back then, or three actually, was number one, they were making up the rules then, so anything was possible. Anything you could think of, you could do, you were allowed to do, basically. We were just given the keys to the candy store by Roulette Records, and if we had been on RCA or Columbia, one of the big labels, that would have never happened. Number two, you had about 60 million baby boom kids all with money in their pockets. That was a big
deal. Yeah, there's a recipe for success.
The whole thing. And number three, all the technology from the space program was just working its way into the recording studios. So you didn't quite have digital stuff yet, but we went literally from 4-track recording to 24-track in about 8 months.
Wow.
So there were all kinds of new toys and gadgets that were constantly coming into the studio. And I just found that I loved producing as much as I loved performing and writing.
How'd you learn, though, Is it your ear? I think that's the thing that fascinates most people. How have you trained your ear to hear that which was right or had popular, it had polish, shall we say?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm a firm believer that you don't put pies in people's face. You got to sort of spoon feed them. So every time we would do a new record, and basically on Roulette we had to do it with singles, because until Crimson and Clover they were really not an album label. They were really singles label.
Right.
So we would go from one single to the next, and we would be very cagey about the way we would use echoes and use different things, because I'm a very traditional kind of guy with music. I love three chords. I'm a pop nut. Yeah. I love pop music, and I love that little envelope, that little pocket that we're in with pop music, but I love stretching the envelope and using different effects on there, and I think most of the people feel the same way. They want something new, but you don't want to throw the baby out with the bath.
Was Buddy Holly a big influence and stuff like that?
You know, Buddy Holly was amazing, because if he'd have been given a few more years, he would have been one of the huge producers in the industry, because Norman Petty, you know, from the Crickets, was involved with groups like the Fireballs, and, you know, he had a studio.
Yeah.
Norman Petty was a genius.
They were the first guys to really just take their music into the studio and,
he was
just
the first
super
one to use
produce
strings
it.
On rock and roll.
Yeah.
All right, before we run out of time, I want to hear, Rich, you got a cut from the new CD.
Yeah.
That song, Loopy and Joe. Tell us about that before we play a little bit of it.
Well,
Tommy.
You know, Loopy and Joe, this is from our new album, Hold the Fire, and, by the way, if anybody wants to, you know, we're in Walmart and all the stores are on the website if anybody wants it. But the point is that, we were able to mess around a lot with this album, and we've got a lot of different kinds of music, and one of them was this song, a couple of years ago, I was home in Michigan for Christmas, and I reached up and picked up a shoebox out of my mom's closet, and in there was a set list that I had written out from 1963 in my own handwriting.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't believe it. And two of the songs that were on there I haven't played since then, and I always loved them. One was Little Latin Loopy Lou, and the other was Killer Joe. You remember that?
Yeah.
And so we glued them together, sort of like
you gotta hear this.
Like a Mitch Ryder, you know, record. You know?
Richie, play this.
Hey, Tommy,
and Joe.
Any chance I can buy that shoebox from you?
Well, listen, I'm really going through it now. So we went in the studio and we put them together. It's called Loopy and Joe, and I hope you like it.
Talking about my baby, a little Latin looping. She's a high-flying lady, ain't no dance she couldn't do. She's my little Latin baby, little Latin loopy. Well, if you want to do it right, little loopy, show you how. Ooh, if you want to get crazy, she's the best for miles around. Rock me now, pretty baby, little Latin loopy-loo. A papa, papa, loopy-loopy. Oh, shake it, loopy-loo. You can do it, pretty baby. Come on and do the hoop jack. She's my little Latin baby, little Latin loopy-loo. Look at Killer Joe, cutting in on me, playing like he don't know she belongs to me. Look at how they're walking, holding her so tight.
Last summer, Tommy James had a number one AC hit called Love Words. That's on this new CD, Hold the Fire, along with Loopy and Joe, and the Christmas song as well as a bonus, I Love Christmas. This is the whole enchilada, as it were. Tommy, I want you to know how pleased we were to be able to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure, guys.
This conversation. Yeah, very, very cool. Good luck to you. I'm glad to know that you're working as hard as you ever have. Go to DougStephan.com, click on Tommy James's website, and check out this new CD and the music that goes back through the, you know, really the soundtrack of our life. It's a 40-year testament to somebody who works hard and is good at what he does. Tommy, thank you again. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you
thank
and your family.
Thank you so much, Doug. Merry Christmas to you.
Take
Thanks,
good care.
Tommy.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
It's being alone that troubles and grieves you. The one that you die for, she finally sees you. One chance only to never be lonely again.
You can pick up a copy of Tommy James' CD, Hold the Fire, at Doug's Holiday Store at DougStephan.com.